Okay, let's call this May 15th meeting of the Houghton Community Council to order. Can we have roll call, please?
Kelly Curtis?
Here.
Brian Gothrop?
Here.
Bill Goggins?
Here.
John Kapler?
Here.
Betsy Pringle? Elsie Weber?
Here.
Rick Whitten?
Here. So, for tonight's meeting, we've got a couple sets of minutes to approve, and then council member reports, audience participation. Then we will be taking final action or final recommendations on the Houghton Evers Business Center before I guess it's going to be going to the Planning Commission for their last shot before it goes to the City Council for their last shot. Well, that's not even quite right, huh?
I think Planning Commission's done.
They're done with it, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So that's our agenda for the evening. I would welcome a motion to dispense with the reading of the minutes.
I move to dispense with the reading of the minutes.
Okay, I've heard it. Any second?
Second.
No, okay, good. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
No, okay, we're not reading the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to read them?
Yes.
Okay, anybody care to, are there any additions or corrections on the January 26th minutes?
Nope.
Hearing none. Someone care to move for approval?
We approve the January 26th minutes.
Is there a second? All right, moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Great. Next, February 23rd minutes. I wasn't at that meeting, so I have to abstain from it. Are there any additions or corrections?
The only comment that I'd like to make is that we had a conversation about the East Bellevue Community Council engaged in a lawsuit, and Kurt Triplett, the city attorney, has prepared a letter to the city council and to us because it concerns us, the outcome of that. And that was something that we were going to schedule on a meeting, and I think maybe it's something we ought to just have in the record and maybe put on one of our meetings. And
well, do you want to note that was discussed at this meeting?
It was right here, item number four. It's item number four.
Okay. Are the minutes correct?
Minister, correct. Yeah, I just want to.
Okay. Any corrections? Anybody care to move for approval of the minutes?
I move we approve February 23rd meeting minutes.
Is there a second? Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Actually, I abstain. Yeah, I abstain. All right. The council member reports and comments. Before anybody else has anything to say, I'm going to remind you guys: this week is your only week to file for re-election. If you fail to file by 4 o'clock on Friday, and you can file 24 hours a day online with King County Elections, but you gotta get filed this week or you're not gonna get re-elected. That's the way it works.
Rick?
Yes, Elsie.
This isn't how I was gonna do this, but I'm not gonna re-up for election. I'm retiring.
Term limits?
Yeah, I mean, 27 years I've been doing this, and I think it's time for somebody younger and brighter like Kelly and Brian and, you know,
definitely
John.
You're the brighter. Huh?
Will you still come out and visit us from time to time?
Huh?
Will you still come around and visit us and give us your wise counsel?
If you invite me to go with drinks, I'll be happy.
I think we can arrange that.
That's on record.
Okay. Well,
I'm not going to argue doing it this way. I wasn't going to do it quite like this, but now's the time to tell you.
Okay.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Thank you very. Thank you very much. We.
Well.
So
I'm
you
sure
have anybody
have been
in
happy
your back
with
pocket?
Me and other people haven't, so that's the way it goes.
Are you going to endorse anybody?
Well, I'm going to endorse all the rest of you. And that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, make sure you guys that you file this week.
And all you need to do is just do the PDC filing, and that does it all. The PDC filing thing that you go through.
Yeah, don't you have to file on King County Elections?
No, you got to go file. Yeah. You got to file with King County Elections. PDC doesn't.
Oh yeah, that's right. But yeah, I'm sorry. You have
to
do them both. Well, and we have to do that too. You have to file with the PDC.
Yeah.
Well, that was due April 30th.
Yeah, April.
If you didn't file
hope
April
did
30th, then
hope you all did it.
No, it's sooner than that. It's like April, the same day as tax day. 18th or 17th?
April 15th. You're right, it was April 15th, yeah, because it is tax day. Yeah.
17th okay. Or 18th.
Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, still on council member reports and comments, just what John brought up, I was going to make point that if you guys didn't read this, it was a memo from the city attorney.
Yeah.
And it basically, even though this case wasn't published, so it doesn't necessarily have presidential value and isn't binding to a court, the city attorney's opinion is it'll still be cited and could be given persuasive value as a court deems appropriate. So the better view is that we should limit our disapproval authority to the specific aspects that are outlined in this memo, which I don't think has ever been an issue for us in the past. And
no, it hasn't.
Yeah.
The only times that we've used our authority to veto, we've done it
on these
serious land use thing.
Well, I would contend that the shoreline conditional permits are serious land use matters.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure I agree with the decision because it seems like they're really misreading the intent of the law.
And to ask Eric while you're here that my understanding is since the shoreline management is taken out of our purview now, Carillon Point would now not be in our purview.
Well, it would be, except for the issues related to the Shoreline Management Act. So any other zoning issue, comprehensive plan issue, would still be within your purview.
It would. Okay.
Yeah. But, for example, a shoreline conditional use permit would not.
Okay.
Even, and I'll point out, you guys may not remember, but even when we were going through the update on the Shoreline Management Plan, I remember that there was some suggestion by Paul that we may not have veto authority on this. That it was, you know, they definitely wanted our participation, our input, and so on. But if push came to shove and we disagreed to the point where we're going to veto, it may not be sustained. And so, you know, we didn't want to go there. But Paul raised that issue. I remember clearly at the time. So shouldn't be a problem for us moving forward.
So Carillon Point, the buildings and...
Oh, absolutely. We definitely have a review of that.
Oh, yeah.
So, any other council member reports or comments?
I attended the Housing Strategy's second meeting, and we're still in the information education stage.
Okay.
Nothing beyond that to share.
Well, thank you for...
popping in there.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Anybody else? Okay, do we have any work program issues to discuss? Any work program review? Okay. Anybody from the audience care to tell us what you're thinking? Hey.
He looks nervous.
I'm Larry Totally. I just wanted to introduce myself again, this time as the new president of the Central Houghton Neighborhood Association.
Hey.
Congratulations.
I hope to be able to step into the shoes that Lisa McConnell has served for so many years. She's still going to be a secretary, so I'm not completely swimming without any life support. And I hope to look forward to working with all you guys on the various items for the neighborhood, the community, as well as the city of Kirkland overall. Thanks.
Excellent.
Yeah, congratulations.
Anybody else?
Margaret Ball.
Hi, it's Margaret Bull. I have something to talk about. I know you can't really do too much about it, but I wanted to talk about it anyway. 108th is kind of one of our main gateways to Kirkland. And I'm disappointed every year that some of the islands in the middle of 108th are the biggest weed patches in the world. And they always say, well, take care of them. Well, they don't take care of them until summer. So you see these things, and I just think they should just dig all the dirt out of that because dandelions go really deep. Put some fresh dirt in it, put a ground cover. So our main drag through Houghton looks a little bit nicer. I was up in different parts of Canada a couple summers ago, and those towns have some really beautiful flower displays, and they like have a lot of pride in their city, and they welcome tourists, and I just think my tax money goes to a lot of stuff. I think it's really stupid. And this might be stupid to other people, but I really want to have a beautiful city. I really want people to drive down 108th and say, gosh, they take good care of their city. Look how nice the plants look in the Middle Islands. you know, I know it's a small thing, but it's really important to me. And I know when our budget was cut, people said, oh, the neighbors could volunteer and take care of a center island. But I do plenty of other things for the city. I'm not going to be out there weeding. I got my own garden. And that was a ridiculous thing to say. So now that we have more budget, generally speaking, than we did a few years ago when things went downhill, I think that's one thing the city should work on. And I don't know what you can do as a Houghton Council, but light a fire. Thanks.
Thank you, Margaret. That is our main thoroughfare through Kirkland.
If you go past 132nd down into Redmond there,
mm-hmm.
those little islands in the center always look terrific.
Yeah.
And they've done it like with bulbs that bloom at different times of the year so they don't have to go back and weed and do all this other stuff. And it's always a pleasure to drive down there. And Kelly's putting her head.
I go down
and,
there
and it could be done easily. A little expense the first year, and then they'll come back and take care of themselves, you know? Got that?
This is under public works, myself, isn't it?
So I know what you mean.
Eric, doesn't this fall under public works?
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. For what it's worth, Margaret, for the last 3 or 4 years, I wait until the weeds get to about this high, and I get so pissed that I just go out and I will spend my Sunday mornings tearing out all the weeds. But I just leave them laying by the island just so the city knows. I'm not taking them away. I'm leaving there so they know that somebody has done it for their benefit. So. Well, I go out at like 6 a.m. before there's any traffic, and I wear a little vest. But yeah, I've done it every year because it just it is terrible. It gets embarrassing. So
I will pass that along to our public works department. But there's nothing beats a citizen raising an issue as well. So.
Or a neighborhood chair.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Elected officials.
Citizen vote.
Well, actually, and one more aside, when Phyllis Needy Park went in order to get that park, they didn't have funding for the maintenance on it, and so we made a deal at the time that we would maintain that park, and we maintained it for the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 years at least until they got funding. And we had a volunteer group that, yeah, you were part of it, Bill. We were mowing, we did everything. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Well, they should take it over again, right?
Feisty night. Saying,
yeah, all right. Moving along. So that's enough for the neighborhood the audience participation. Any special presentations there that we should know about? Nope? Okay.
Nope.
So, mm-hmm. Nope.
I actually had a couple people, constituents, come ask me to mention the at the meeting. I don't know if it's the right time to do it or not.
Well, it would have been comment. Under council member reports and comments.
Okay, can I rewind real quick? Okay. Number one, the process of getting speed humps, like on 60th, mm-hmm. Coming down from the pedestrian bridge, people are flying down there, and there's a lot of little kids around.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's becoming more and more of an issue. So I didn't know who to pass that along to, but...
Yep, there's a neighborhood safe... I don't think it's called Neighborhood Safety Program. So you can just it's the Public Works
Lisa's
Department.
Been on there.
And there is a whole process, and there's an officer or a woman who handles that program. And she, you know, you have to go approach her. She'll come out to the neighborhood. She'll bring in, involves a whole series of neighbors on
okay.
the street. And kind of they have a sequence of steps that they try to deal with the issue first. And,
okay.
So forth, but yeah.
So when you say contact, does that mean Brian's supposed to contact her to get something done? Or?
Brian or another neighbor
okay.
really has to be somebody who lives on that street has to contact
okay.
her.
Great.
And her name is Kathy Robertson.
Kathy Robertson. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, I know Kathy.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the speed bumps that work are the ones they use through the temporary construction process at Totem Lake.
Boom, boom.
Those are speed bumps. Man.
And the second thing was... there is a empty lot on 112th up behind Northwest, actually close to where Mr. Totally lives,
mm-hmm.
And it's a completely empty lot that isn't owned by anybody because it has to be. It's part of the green space. It's in the neighborhood when they developed it, and it had to be set aside as green space.
Uh-huh.
And my understanding was it used to be a park. There used to be a baseball diamond on it, but
really?
It's overgrown now with blackberry bushes that are 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be a great little park, and I didn't know, the person asked me to find out who to get in contact with about that.
Is it, as far as you know, do you think it's part of a subdivision where it was set aside as open space as part of that subdivision?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Possibly as a drainage facility?
Yeah, I'm
just
sure.
Asking because I know we had another case in that neighborhood where that was the case, and so there's a kind of a deed restriction on it for drainage purposes and so forth. But
so nothing. Wasn't
well, I don't know. I don't know the site.
Sounds to me like if it's not drainage, it would make a nice pocket park,
mm-hmm.
just a little tiny place.
Right, right. Is it in your subdivision, for
yeah.
example?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Let me figure out the best way to get you connected with somebody who could help you.
Okay,
that, Brian.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah, okay.
Kari?
Kari might be. She probably would at least know. But
yeah.
yeah. Okay, well, let's move into our Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center action.
Okay. Last Thursday night, I went to the Planning Commission. Kelly was there, so she's going to help me out to try
I
and...
I watched it live.
Okay, good, good. Because
I was
there's
texting the planning commissioners as it was
as
in
they
process.
Spoke? Okay. All right. And so they had... You all have the packet that was sent to them, and it included your recommendations. So I'm trying to decide the best way to go through this tonight, and what I'm thinking is that maybe we first go through your recommendations, and then I can tell you what they said about each one of those, and then we can go into any other issues that they brought up that are different from what was in the packet. Because what I will be doing is then making their recommendation to the council on, I think it's June 6th, at a study session. And what I was thinking was, if you agree, then I will go in with a recommendation from both of you. If there's certain things that you don't agree with, then I'll point those out to the council. So as we're going through this, keep that in mind. If there's something you want pointed out, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do that.
Okay.
So where I was thinking...
Three things that we said we'd veto, how did they do with that?
Well, we're going to go through that.
Yeah, we are. But I think they spoke to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at page 12 in... Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. You have different... Hold on. 14?
13.
Yeah, it starts on 13, but the actual issues start on page 14. My notes are in another... Rick, do you want to read this, or do you want me to just?
I want to hear how you present it.
Okay,
I'm going to keep you honest.
Okay, number one. it starts with the comprehensive plan amendments and your suggestions for those, and then it goes into the zoning code. And this first one has to do with the Waddell property and the density. So we're hitting it with something big right off. Okay. And you had asked that this whole policy be deleted because you didn't want high density on that property. The Planning Commission did not agree with that, and they did leave the property at a 30-foot height limit but at no density limit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. You just stop me if you want to discuss it further or say anything about it.
And can we assume, unless you say otherwise, that as we go through here, getting back to Angela's point about wanting to inform the city council where there are differences, that if what she tells you the planning commission said does not dissuade you from changing your opinion, we would still go back to your previous recommendation and,
I'll
and present that to the council?
Well, yeah.
All right. So you're saying I would say this wasn't a deal breaker, but you still felt strongly that there should be a density limit here. Would you like me to do it that way? Or
unless
how
somebody's changed their mind about whether we should, it was not a deal breaker before, unless that's, and I'm not trying to stir the pot, but I'm just saying.
As I recall, one of the conversations was, because there was a development application based on the existing zoning, that we decided just to leave it alone.
Well, that was our recommendation.
Yeah.
But we also said that wasn't something we would exercise a veto on, and I think that it was somewhat of a pragmatic decision. That's the way I felt about it because I'm pretty I think it's pretty certain that what Elle is going to go through with his other townhouse development.
That is what we've heard. Yeah.
Condo development. Do we really want to veto it on, you know, if it's not going to make any difference?
Well, okay. I'm just not certain it won't make a difference.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, then elaborate, please.
Well, I think the energies expended to submit a development application are broken into two parts. It's the initial research and then the development of the plans. And if the zoning change that allows more density to make a project much more financially viable, the feasibility part's already done and studied. They just need to revise the plans, and that's a pretty simple process. So I honestly think we're kidding ourselves that somebody would not. I'm not saying he will or won't, but I'm just saying it's a very real possibility. So for us to move forward on the assumption that no one would ever change their development application, I think is an incorrect assumption. So as long as everybody knows that and wants to move forward with the same decision, great. That's just my two cents. We change things all the time.
I did talk with Mr. Waddell about this subject. So two things. First, he said he's not interested in changing his application that he's already got moving forward, which is for the single-family homes. He said that three stories is just not workable for what he would prefer to do, which would be the higher density. And he submitted his application specifically before the new critical areas regulations take effect, because there are some wetlands along the CKC, and although I don't know exactly what difference that makes, it does, I think, end up being a larger buffer there. It takes more land away from his ability to put the single family home, so I don't think he'd want to give that up. Just okay. FYI.
Okay.
I think Doug has been a real straight shooter throughout this process. I mean, there may be some people who may posture, but I think if he says what that represents, and I've heard it from somebody other sources as well, so I think
it's not a value,
pretty reliable.
It's just.
Oh, of course, you can, yeah.
Where do you know the density of what he's going to put in there?
Well, it's under the current zoning, which is 12 units per acre, so I presume it's about that, but I haven't calculated or seen it, but it's single-family homes that are, you know, small lot. Single-family homes, probably about 12.
Is it essentially what's behind Met Market?
I'm sorry?
Is it like the development behind Met Market?
Isn't it going to be zero lot
line? Well, like that in the sense that it's a detached units. I think the size of the lots would be a little smaller than that.
A little higher density.
Yeah, and he wants to do more of a condominium style, which simply means that most of the homes would be on a single lot. And the they would be condominium ownership with a shared land ownership.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
Next.
The second one. This was the wording. You asked that wording be changed. You can see the wording in yellow where it says transition of the Houghton Center into a transit and pedestrian-oriented mixed-use development. And you asked, if you look on the next page, wait a minute.
At the bottom, bottom of that same page.
Take out the transit.
Yeah. You wanted it changed to with access to transit, and the Planning Commission agreed with that, and I'll change it. And that's the way we will bring it to the council. So your wording was acceptable.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's different on page 5. Well, that was before the meeting now, right. So if I just ask a question on that real quick, and reading through all the documents, because of the language change that we just said is okay, we don't need to worry about going in all the other stuff like the design review guidelines and all that and add that and with transit.
We're changing it here in this one. What they agreed to was this goal, this change in the goal. I'm not going to be going through everything else that says that. It's just this goal.
Got it. Okay.
And just to clarify, the reason that John, you're saying that the memo to the Planning Commission didn't include that, what I gave them was what they recommended. And so that was before you made your recommendations. Okay. Then we talked about your recommendations. Right. So that's why it's different.
Got
this
it.
Is what they agreed to.
Got it.
So we'll change it to your wording on that. The next one is policy 11.4. And this, you were asking, let's see, exclude mention of high capacity transit on the Cross Kirkland corridor. And they did not agree with that. They left it as it was.
And we certainly got a lot of negative, right? There have been several people who have responded and say, you know, there's an overwhelming sentiment in Houghton to not want that. Even though it may be part of the city's transportation plan, it doesn't mean that we necessarily support it. But I guess we've made that clear. And
yeah, we haven't gone through each of these, but when the Planning Commission has not changed it the way you want, I can bring forward your comments
exactly.
to the
That's
council
just tell them
and
that we
say
just
it wasn't changed, but you still feel the other way.
Very strong community
yeah.
sentiment. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. All right. We are on number 4. And this was a recommendation by you to add additional wording to the design guidelines about protection of public views down 68th Street. And if you go to the next page, the special consideration for Houghton Evers Neighborhood Center has been beefed up in the design guidelines.
Design guidelines.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So hopefully it meets with what you had in mind, and the Planning Commission agreed with that. So.
Right.
Okay.
And we'll be going over the design guidelines next Monday when we meet with the design review. I presume that's still on the plan, right?
That is on the plan,
yeah.
Yeah. And so what I'm going to be doing is we're giving them the design guidelines as are attached in this packet.
Right.
And then we're asking them if they have any comments or any concerns about things that
right.
need to be edited because they don't work well for
yeah.
what they're doing.
You'd be all right, John.
I'm sorry.
Next Monday we don't have a meeting.
Yeah.
No, it's their meeting, but John and I hope John will be. I'm planning to attend, and I'm hoping John
Brian
will as well.
Brian and I both like grab the schedule.
Yeah, no, this is not on our agenda. It's just that somebody
yeah.
from our
okay.
council needs to be there to represent.
Yeah,
us
it's a design review board meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this the city council or the planning
design
board?
Review? It's design review meeting.
Oh,
design review.
Yeah.
Board.
So they're just giving advice. You know what we're doing is we're going to them and saying here's the new guidelines. Do you have any comments on that? How do you think these will work?
Right.
I'm going to chime in on this one because I know that we spent years on the Central Houghton Neighborhood Plan and on the Lakeview Plan, and in both of those plans, it was really, really important to everybody in the first 3 or 4 sentences to talk about these specific sentences, and. I think that was, this is one, other than traffic, this is one of the things that really got the citizens to arise and object to some of the visual graphics that the city put together about the street enclosure and how the buildings stand up at the street and how it's going to change the view down the corridors. And I honestly think it would be a shame after several years of hard work for us to go, oh, never mind, it's not really needed, it's not important. And I also look at attachment 6, which is on page 45 of our document in the code. I mean, we think it's important enough to put actually in the code section itself the setback dimensions, 5 feet, average 15 feet. But we don't think it's important enough to really say why we're doing that, which is the, you know, some of the most important sentences in the very first part of the neighborhood plan.
John,
so,
the staff's note says that policy 15.1 specifically says preserve public scenic views and view corridors of Lake Washington, Seattle, and Olympic Mountains from public rights of way and parks. It's already there in 15.1. That was why.
Well, no, but the Planning Commission is saying it's not necessary.
No, because 15.1 already addresses it.
Yeah, that's not going away.
This will be in.
Did you see? Well, and also, if you look at attachment 7, the last page, we're also putting in the design guidelines.
So
special consideration for the public views. We added.
I looked through the design guidelines on it, and on page 55, I didn't necessarily see it.
Okay, how about page 84? There's a red box, I tried to use the wording that you received from some citizens, and I thought you liked that wording, so that's why I put it in there. So it says, buildings, landscaping, and streetscape features along the Northeast 68th Street corridor should be designed to preserve existing views from the public right-of-way. Public spaces should be oriented to take advantage of views when possible.
Yeah. Okay. Well, instead of saying completely, never mind. Maybe a little bit more front and center is all. I've had my say.
Okay. So do we want to say, now this is one where... Is it okay, or do you want me to say something else to the council?
I'd just take a straw poll and we'll move on.
Okay, yeah. But what are you proposing, John? Actually, I don't know why we're going here, because we've had this same discussion, and we did agree to it as is for the reasons stated. We wanted it included in the design review
guidelines.
I
think where John might be coming from is it's in the design guidelines very specifically.
Yes.
It's not a policy.
It's not a policy.
And so that's where he's coming from. He's saying, I want it to be a policy. The design guidelines are not good
enough. Policy 15.1 covers it.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to speak for John. I don't know.
Thank you for that.
Again,
I'm just doing everything I can to give the design review everything they can.
They use the design guidelines.
I'm just trying to think about this is all. So at the end of it all, if you all think it's covered, like I said, I don't want to be dead horse. I don't want to be dead horse. So.
Well, we have a policy, and it's in the design guidelines, so I guess I'm not clear where you feel like it's missing. Like the language needs to be stronger?
I think it would be better if it was in attachment 6, is my mind, in the code part. And a couple other things there too. It's on page 45.
Do you have specific wording that you would propose to change, John?
It's a regulation. You want it to be a regulation?
Well,
it should be a policy or something solid so that it can't just be said, well, it's said in here, but we're not doing it.
Well, it is a policy, and it's a design, and it's in the design review guidelines.
So I think.
Say we shouldn't.
So what is the impact if we add it to this?
To the regulation. Yeah. I don't know how you would make it into a. I mean, the regulation is that you're requiring step backs above the second story. That's a regulation.
Yeah, regulations work best when they're
specific.
They're very clear, mm-hmm. and you can have meat to
as them. Opposed to obstruct views.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say it is in the regulations.
All right.
In a slightly different way.
You good with that, John?
Let's move on.
Okay.
thank you.
So we're on number 5, right?
Yeah.
Number 5. Mm-hmm. And this one was talking about having a policy to protect 106th Avenue Northeast for residential use. By implementing traffic calming and discouraging commercial and through traffic. You wanted a policy for that. The Planning Commission did not do that. There is not a policy for that. So if you'd like, I can tell the council that you still think that there should be a policy for that.
If we don't have a policy for it, what will prevent access into a structured parking garage off of 106th with the turn lane going south? What will prevent that?
A yeah, I don't, but I mean.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Well, okay, not necessarily a turn lane.
No, in other words, access both directions, and so you could go south.
It would have to be a regulation anyway. I mean, even if you do have a policy, it's the regulations which are going to do that. Now, later on, we get into access points and circulation within the development. You know, you all wanted that, and mm-hmm. we can talk about that later. That may help with that, but I you know, we will look at it at that time. I can't guarantee.
Would the policy be something more like prohibiting exiting, going directly into the neighborhood or something like that, so that it's not the only way to exit and go through the neighborhood? Because circulation-wise, it would be great for outsiders, right? Because they could bypass the light and get all the way down to past Northwest.
Well, I don't think there's any reason why there couldn't be a policy, but we'd need to think through, if you're serious about it, which I presume you would be, then we'd need to think about how could we put that in a more of a regulation that would prevent it, you know, make it, implement the policy, if you will.
And I guess, but the point is that the Planning Commission doesn't feel that it's inappropriate for a policy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think if you want a policy, we can tell the council that. Well, but, I mean, at this point, we're not going to go back
that's
and,
true. That is true.
You know.
My comment is trying to address the citizens that have said we have way too much drive-through traffic, things we haven't even chatted yet about what Sound Transit is doing in terms of their plans for extending the train to the South Kirkland Park and Ride and what that's going to do, driving even more traffic up 108 to get the South Kirkland Park and Ride, to ride the train when it gets there. And the cut-through traffic on 106 will be horrendous. And if we don't do something about it, I think we'll fail the citizens that have talked for months about it.
Well, then it sounds like you want me to tell the council that you feel that policy is important.
Can we just look at page 43 at the appropriate pedestrian circulation plan real quick? There's two access points on this pedestrian circulation plan. And, of course, I think along with this pedestrian, there's got to be vehicular circulation as well. There's really, is there anything on this that, you know, that can indicate that traffic's, we can have right turn only, northbound only, and you can't turn left? And, can we do anything like that?
Not on this. And also, this is going to, I don't know if you want to skip to this now. We can talk about this, but the Planning Commission made some changes to this. Would you like to discuss that now?
They kind of go together, so why not?
Yeah, okay.
Right turn only, though, because the people on the...
Keep the trucks from turning, going out on 106th and going down 106th, that would help.
That's fine. I'm just saying that doesn't go on this okay. graphic.
I understand. It says pedestrian, I know, but something like this.
Yeah. Okay, well...
Kelly?
I'm going to throw this out here while we're on this topic. So I'm wondering, in the design guidelines on page 69, and it talks about parking lot location and design, could we put a special consideration in there? Because John was talking about parking lot built, exit on 106. Maybe we could add something about egress into 106 in that area?
One of the problems that I see with this is that, you know, when the Planning Commission wants access through that southern site between 108th and 106th, and they felt so strongly about it that they want a regulation saying that. So that's just the opposite of what you're saying. So, I mean, I think you are going to want to come forward and say you disagree with that, but it...
The Planning Commission didn't want to... send traffic down 106.
No, they don't want to send traffic down, but you're saying ingress and egress.
There, right.
They want to have a connection. So ingress and egress is a problem, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I was here for that conversation, and they were talking about adding this extra road between 108th and 106 would alleviate some of the traffic in that intersection.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, except that we want people to exit going north, not south.
Okay. Okay. So... So,
but even
okay.
that, then they'd have to get out onto 68 at that intersection.
True. It funnels them back through the intersection. Which is the problem.
Well, I mean, I guess as part of the, if you got the 30, well, I don't know about all the
other.
I don't think they've got through it. If they looked at the traffic considerations, who does it help?
What are we thinking down there, Eric? I'd love to hear what you're saying.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what the best place
to put it.
Of a restriction would be the most effective. My first gut would be to say maybe if there's a special regulation in the zoning code about that.
Oh, but, like in the general regulation?
Well, maybe in the general regulation or something, yeah. That would be. It would be a regulation that we just put it up, because I think the zoning code is probably the most effective.
If you don't put it in the zoning code, policy is not going to, we don't look to the policy.
I mean, the policy is a good thing to have to say that supports the intent of the regulation. So it's not a bad thing. I think for your purposes here, again, getting back to what Angela was saying earlier, if you feel strongly about this, then you can tell us now, and then we'll think about the most important. I mean, if you're comfortable with that, we can figure out the most effective way to include that. We can pass that on to the city council.
And say that that's important.
And then we would
to you
draft something up.
So so what we would suggest then, sounds like, is something in the zoning code that says traffic wouldn't exit and go south on 106th.
Yeah.
I would like to move that we propose that staff include that.
But what about the neighbors?
Down there.
One at a time.
You have to turn off of 106 to LC, get to the little
street. LC, if you're going to speak, you need to speak into your mic so that you are recorded.
No. I live down. You have to, when I come out of the shopping center now, I turn to the left because I go down 106th about 1.5 blocks to turn on 105th, which is my street. And are you saying that there would be no left turns out of the driveway?
Can't have it both ways.
Yeah, that's what some council members said.
That's the dilemma here. Yeah.
Yes.
You want to make it convenient for people in the neighborhood.
Well, the people that live here should be able to get
absolutely,
to their houses.
Absolutely.
But there's no way to.
I was just saying not a turn only. So that it's not.
You're not directing traffic that way.
Yeah, so that you're not forced to go that way.
Right. But it's obvious if you go that way, it's residential, and this is the best way to get it.
Right.
So what should I suggest?
That's not going to be, you're not putting a regulation, you're not regulating it. You're just suggesting, right?
And it's not the best way out.
Go that way.
Maybe blinking arrows. No, kidding.
Well, let's get serious. I mean, are we serious enough that we do? Because Elsie's got a good point. If you restrict so that it's only a right turn, then people who live in the neighborhood, they can't turn either. You know, it's a two-edged sword. So, what's more important, convenience for the neighbors or the traffic impact
for the neighbors?
Yeah. And if you can't come down with a clear decision on it, then I don't think it's something that we should be throwing our sword on and saying that we're going to veto it if we don't have that.
I don't know if this would work or not, but I've seen signs before that say for local residents only.
Typically that's for parking.
Well, yeah, but we could make it for the use of the street.
I mean, how do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think you guys should try to come up with an engineering solution. I think maybe if you express your intent, which I believe is to discourage and maybe prevent somehow general traffic from going down there, but trying to keep it at least available, and I don't know how or if it could even be done, but keep it open for neighborhood access.
Well, it's at a minimum, Kelly made a good point. If we had it as a special consideration for the Houghton Neighborhood Business District, Neighborhood Business District, which is in the design guidelines on page 69, we could just add that and emphasize that we do not want traffic to that center to be.
That might be a design consideration.
You know, what this memo says, and I'm thinking it came from stuff that you were telling me at the last meeting or what was in one of the letters. It says you continue to recommend that a policy, and maybe instead of a policy, it would be a design guideline, should be added to include design elements and signing to better delineate the higher density residential and commercial areas from the adjacent low density single family residential uses. So in other words, we're talking about design elements and signing as opposed to you can't turn there, but do things to encourage that.
I think it needs to be more explicit about discouraging through traffic or
going south.
Non-local traffic, yeah, going south.
Not a local thoroughfare or whatever, yeah.
Okay. But are we thinking a special consideration, like a design guideline?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I'm saying that, is the rest of the council supportive of that? John is? Anybody disagree? Okay. And
just to clarify, so far I haven't had anything that was a veto. I mean, I'm going to bring these points up, but I'm not going to say with any of them this is a veto.
This we feel really strongly about.
So this is a veto?
I don't see why they shouldn't be willing to allow us to add a design guideline.
I don't either. Yeah. I'm just asking the question.
I personally think that we should say that we'd veto if they wouldn't, because it's not, we're not asking that much.
Okay.
We're just trying to just get, but that's me, you know, all we're doing is adding
Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay. Two things.
Okay.
One is we didn't tell that to the Planning Commission.
Right.
But the other thing is design guidelines aren't Planning Commission and Houghton Community Council. You're just recommending. You don't have the ability to veto. I don't think this is going to be a problem, but I'm just saying you it's just a council decision on that. Not on design guidelines.
It's part of the package.
That's the way I thought it was. Never mind. Sorry. Just I will bring this to them.
Well, I'm not speaking unilaterally. I want to take a quick poll of the council to see how do you guys, is this something that we're willing to veto if we can't get a design guideline consideration for trying to discourage the drive-through traffic to the south on 6th?
I'm not sure we should thread a veto on this. We really need to drop it.
I'll pass on the information.
Strong, but not
It's been
clearly communicated to us, and we support that.
And if it's a special consideration in a design guideline, which is a brilliant idea,
it should be fine.
I just don't see an issue with this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to be very unhappy if I find out I can't turn left to get home.
That's why we're not putting the regulations.
We're going to give you a clicker and the sign will turn around.
Okay.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Perfect.
Okay, number six. Number six.
Yeah.
What happened here? Include a policy that states that transportation improvements included in the 6th Street Corridor study should be implemented, and we will do that. And it's going to be additional wording added to policy 5.3 for Central Houghton.
Okay.
And now we are on to the zoning code amendments. And the first one, you're recommending that density limits for height above, well, the 35-foot height option, the density should be 48. Units per acre, and the Planning Commission agreed with that.
I just want to back up to 6 real quick. You went over that pretty quick, and I got lost.
I'm saying number 6, the Houghton Community Council recommended that there be a policy that
the 6th Street Corridor
plan would be, you know, we would use that. We would implement that to, and there will be. It's not a new policy. It's going to be probably wording added into policy CH 5.3. But the point is, that wording will be in there.
Right.
So yes, on that one. That's why I went by it quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Now, zoning code. No density limits in 1. We know that. We've already talked about that. That's the Waddell property.
Wait.
That's 2.
Oh, I'm sorry, in yeah, two.
We're in number eight.
No, we're on number
seven.
We're on seven. I thought you went through seven. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, never. Okay, we'll go back. We're on seven. And it's for 30-foot height limit, no density limits. But for 35-foot height limit, 48 units per acre. This is what you all recommended. Planning Commission agrees.
Does it include the proviso for the grocery store, hardware store, or drugstore?
They can't get 35 if they don't have that. Okay. Yeah. So, yes.
Okay. I in listening to the discussion, I got the distinct impression that there was no minimum size requirement for our grocery / hardware / drugstore, which is inconsistent with our intent. In other words, it would suffice if there was some little small convenience store or something that would qualify. And that's absolutely inconsistent with the intent.
Okay. What we had said was at least 10,000 square feet, but it could be more than one. So if you don't want that, we'll bring that forward.
It was 20,000.
20,000, sorry. Yeah. Whatever it was just that there had to be there was a possibility that there could be a 10,000 square foot hardware store and a 10,000 square foot drugstore, and between the two of those, they would meet the intent. If that was what I thought it was, that's what the Planning Commission agreed to. If you don't want that, we can bring that forward.
That was not my understanding. We're being told that Met Market already is too small and they need a bigger market. And so that's fine. We want that kind of grocery store mm-hmm. to serve the community. So if somebody comes in and puts in a 7-Eleven and a small hardware store or a small that doesn't meet our needs. That's downsizing, and it's just a way to get around. I don't think that was not what I heard from the neighbors. They wanted a grocery store and a drugstore and a hardware store would be great, but that at least grocery drugstore that is as big or bigger than what we currently have. And
right. So what we but as you heard, that's not what the Planning Commission said. So what we will do is bring that to the City Council and say you want it. It has to be one use, 20,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I want to get back to page 45, then the actual code section, because the way that it's written, that's confusing. Because it says on item D on page 45, a minimum of 20,000 square feet of ground floor retail that must include a grocery store, a hardware store, and a drugstore. So,
Or a drugstore.
So 20,000 square feet divided by three, one use apiece, and you make it. I mean, that's what this says.
Exactly, and that's what Rick is saying. He doesn't agree with that. That is what the Planning Commission said, but what I'm going to do is report to the City Council that you don't agree with that.
Well, this isn't what we meant, though. This is not what we meant.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will tell them that.
Nor is it, you want
a 20,000 square foot grocery store or a 20,000 square foot hardware store or a 20,000 square foot drugstore or all three, and then you'd have 60,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Well, one of them would be 20,000.
Yeah, okay. Or one. But I mean, I'll report that.
Yeah.
Is there room there?
So we can't add an or between grocery store and hardware store on this at this point because.
Well, no, because that's not what the planning.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but you can for your recommendation.
Yeah.
See, your recommendation is going to be different.
Okay.
And then the council will look at both and decide.
Well, this was the biggest concession to allowing the additional height was to meet the neighborhood needs, and it was one of the few enticements to get allowing the additional density, and so to me this is an absolute veto item if we don't get that.
I got it.
Do you guys, anybody disagree with that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I think this.
Okay.
That has to be really clearly. And even saying that, John, you got a better sense of this than me. I mean, is 20,000? I know that's what the number we've been throwing around. Is that appropriate for what neighborhood grocery stores?
Is that what the size drugstores, is now?
We're a little bit outside my wheelhouse, but I believe the current paradigm is 22, 27 in that range, 32 biggest. But it's larger than
20 is large enough that it's going to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And if they want to make it bigger, it's all up to the marketplace.
Yeah, it's not like they can't make it larger. You just don't want it to be smaller.
Yeah, from what I recall, exactly. Bartels was like 14,000.
Currently?
Yeah, I think.
But it's the smallest Bartels in their chain. Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying size wise to get a perspective.
Right.
It's probably more likely that you get a 20,000 square foot grocery store or hardware store. I'm guessing drugstore. That's a little bit high for a typical drugstore.
Yeah.
What if they have a drive through?
We're not there.
Let's wait till we get to that point. Okay, so
I would like to say something. Okay. As soon as Rick stops laughing, I want to. I won't give up my sores, but Bartels is seriously thinking about going across the street with PCC to have their drugstore over there, so that would leave enough space for the grocery store to expand itself out. Now, I don't want to be held to the fire for anybody to find out where I got this information, but I thought now's a good time. Maybe you guys might think of that, you know?
Well, it's really not going to affect what we're doing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It probably would be going into the space that's already there, not
Exactly. It'd be the ground fixed space, but...
Okay, so...
So just to be clear, on 7, we're moving forward with our recommendation, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to say that that's one that you would veto on.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, I'm going to bring the other ones forward, but this will be one that I'll say that you would veto.
Before we leave this, and help clarify for me, there was some discussion of a 33-foot height limit.
Yeah, I was going to get to... Can we just go through this? I will get to that.
Okay, you're saving that for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's a little later because I'm getting confused with what... And actually, number 7 is just talking about density. I mean, I made the note about the 20,000 square feet, but...
Got it.
Number 7 is density, and in that case, the Planning Commission agreed with you that for that 35-foot option, there was a 48 unit per acre
Got
density.
It.
Okay.
The
number 8... Yeah. Is back to the Waddell property and the no density limit. And they did not agree with you on that one. But I will again bring forward that you would prefer it to stay at medium density.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they also said not to include the city property.
I didn't bring that up because y'all agree with that. Everybody agreed with that one.
Yeah.
It's just the Waddell property that we're talking about.
John, did you have something? Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Number 9. So this is the one about setback should be 0, and you didn't want to require. You didn't want to dedicate a right of way, take away property, and then have an issue with maximum lot coverage or density. You wanted to protect the property owner from that, and so you were saying let's put it in an easement. There are some requirement or allowances for easement in the code already, and the Planning Commission said they felt that was enough. And so that part is okay, but the part that they didn't agree with, or I'm assuming that's okay, the part they didn't agree with was you wanted a cross-section included,
right.
And they did not require that. So,
was there a reason?
I think because that's more something that's going to be in the 6th Street Corridor study. They have cross sections that they use for various types of roadways. This just isn't, I don't think, unique enough that they wanted to put that in the code. I don't know. I mean, they didn't really even go there with this one. That's just not something that they asked to do. I can, again, put that in for the council and say that you're interested in having a cross section there. So... But that's not something that they've agreed to. Is that enough
after
on that one?
After our experience with the South Kirkland Park and Ride, where the, you know, a cross-section on that might have helped clearly communicating what our intent was for the design review.
Mm-hmm. The design review isn't going to be looking at that. That's public works. No, I mean,
okay.
they're not going to decide what the cross-section is going to look like. That's going to be Public Works Department. So, again, and they will use the 6th Street Corridor Study to think about that. Number 10. Okay. This was – hopefully some of you heard this. A lot of discussion on this. You said the only drive-through that would be allowed is a gas station. Planning Commission had originally said they thought it should be allowed for everything but restaurants. But they wanted to address, they knew this is important to you, but they felt strongly that if you're trying to encourage a drugstore as one of your uses, you shouldn't take away their drive-through because newer drugstores, I think that's true. Most of the ones I can think of do have drive-throughs. So their suggestion is you could have a drive-through for a drugstore or for a gas station, but that's it. And they're hoping that with that compromise, you won't veto.
Yes, but that parking lot's just not big enough for a drive-through, except for, let's say, that drugstore would be put down where Bank of America is right now, where the way it's along the edge.
This is what they said.
Yeah. In my mind, the assumption is if there's going to be a drugstore with a drive-through, it's everything's
rebuilt. Yeah, and it's going to be across the street.
Yeah. Well, having listened to this conversation and where they were in as far as drop-off lumber yards and that sort of thing, I was feeling pretty good when we got just to the drugstore. And I think, Eric, you pointed out that in Juanita Bay, the Walgreens there.
Yeah, they have a drive-through.
Yeah, right. And it was an issue for them whether to even build
in the Walgreens at, on 85th.
Yeah.
No, it was definitely an issue for them. It was a deal-breaker. Keep in mind, too, that drive-throughs are not prohibited now. So if you did veto this.
Yeah.
You'd have
all right back to where you are right now, which is no prohibition on drive-throughs.
Yeah.
So in this case, a veto doesn't do you much good.
Yeah, but realistically, there's not going to be redevelopment as is. I mean, it's not. Nobody's going to go in there and. I don't.
It
wouldn't be an issue. I mean, the whole idea. It's the whole thing is it's the pedestrian orientation, you know, and the issues with traffic. We don't want to do anything that's going to discourage pedestrian. And increase the interaction between the cars and the people, and that's why we didn't want it. And I don't really see.
And then their argument, their argument was, but you want a drugstore. So on the one hand, you're saying.
But they're not mutually exclusive. There's plenty of drugstores without drive-throughs.
We have a drugstore.
Okay.
Same thing with
so
the
So would you
trails,
like this to tells. Still be a veto issue? That's all we need to decide.
Yeah, that's really the question. Any further discussion, you guys? Have any input before we take a straw poll on whether or not to make it a veto?
I think that it's not a deal breaker for me. I think that newer drugstores, their business model has now been created that a drive-through is important to them. And we are saying that we want a drugstore in there, and we may have to concede on this.
I agree.
Okay. John, that's what you think?
I just keep thinking, you know, if I'm really, really sick and I want to go get some medicine, do I want to park my car and walk in the rain?
Or you've got a toddler with a fever, been there. I drove to Walgreens.
I've been there, too.
That's the reality. So.
That's the 24-hour.
Brian?
Yeah.
I think that if that does occur, that there's a drugstore that has a drive-through, it's going to involve a total redevelopment of the property anyway. And it would have to consider traffic anyway, just to be viable. So I don't know that I don't think that would be a veto for me.
Okay, Elsie.
I don't think that parking lot could stand the pedestrians and a drive-through at the same time. We're trying to make it so that people feel comfortable. Getting out of their cars and moving around and getting in there. So I would veto it, but we'll see what you guys
think. Well, we've already got it. It's the majority. There's four people who are saying they wouldn't veto on it.
Okay.
I agree with you,
I go
Elsie,
with the majority.
But we're in the minority this time.
Yeah,
I mean, somehow Costco manages to sell a lot of drugs without having a drive-through. So.
So do you want me to still say that you don't want the drive-through on the drugstore?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're not saying we don't recommend that. It's just we're not.
You're not.
There's not a majority willing to veto over the issue.
Got it.
But we still feel that we do not want it.
Okay.
And I personally would veto it for what it's worth. Okay. Let's move on.
Number 11.
I'm letting it go.
Limit ground level to retail uses with some office uses. And then what you all recommended was that there would be no office above the ground floor. So you said just don't allow off. There can be a little bit office on the ground floor, but none above. And the Planning Commission went a different direction with that. And they said that you can have, there can be office above the ground floor, but overall in the building, no more than 20% of the total square footage of the building can be office. So the idea there was to limit the amount of office so you're not going to get a big office building, but to keep it simpler. And what we did talk about was there's office above the ground floor now in that development. And so, you know, that's why we were actually, staff was concerned about saying it has to be on the ground floor. But we understand it, the need to limit it, and that's why they limited it to 20%. One thing that they another piece that they also suggested was that this limit would not apply either to Zone 3, which is, you know, on the east side, or that office complex that exists there now. So it really only applies to the middle area.
Right. Zone one.
Zone one, but that office complex that exists there now is zone one. So there would be something in the code that says except in that area parcel. And it would be described geographically. So is that okay with you, or do you want to stick with your original recommendation?
Well, I was the most strong advocate for residential only, and the reason was the traffic impacts, and that the and I'm digging through my thousands of pages here trying to find what we received. Larry totally provided something that showed what the traffic trips were for office versus residential, and it's not a small difference, and so that was the idea. And If we're going to allow it the additional density, then let's make it the least impact traffic-wise. That was my
point. Well, I think, too, from what I recall, was when the traffic study was done, if you assume the larger space that you assume being office space shows the least amount of traffic impact.
Mm-hmm.
But when they develop it, they can switch it around if they want after the fact. So I think it was to avoid playing with the numbers, too, on the traffic study when they build it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like the multiplier was right? Much smaller for office.
Right.
Is much smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah, much.
Dramatically.
Dramatically smaller.
But then they're not held to, once they build it up, they're not held to keep that same percentage office. So then you can do a shell game and have non-office space there, even though the approval was based on office space.
You talking about retail?
They can't do that because it'd be a change of use, and they'd have to redo the parking count. Is that right, Eric?
It was from
retail
the traffic
have the same parking requirement.
It's not parking. It was the from the traffic.
But impact. I mean, between office and residential, is that what you were talking about? Or?
Yeah, but it was for the traffic impact for the traffic study.
I don't think you can set up a building on office and then change these to residential without reworking the parking. Right. You can't do that. That's a change of use.
Right. Parking, plus, it would be a
parking
lot.
Parking would be their concern that they would have insufficient parking to support the office.
Okay. Maybe I'm remembering it incorrectly.
Yeah.
This is a City of Kirkland comparison of PM peak hour net trip generation that was done in April 2007. I presume it's still valid. But it shows that general office building has a 239% more traffic generation in PM hours than attached and stacked housing. 239% higher. That's huge. And that's why I was saying, okay, if we're trying to minimize or reduce the traffic impact. If we're going to allow additional density, let's do it with the lowest possible impact on traffic. And that's why I said let's limit it to residential above. Plus, I do think that typically on a three-story development, most people are going to just do retail and residential above in most places anyway.
Except for the existing development.
Well, yeah, and I'm not saying that we would change the existing. They'd be grandfathered in. I'm just saying if it's redeveloped.
Yes, they would be grandfathered, but
not if they go over 35 feet.
Because it'd be well, over 35
that would be
feet,
a new building.
Then they're being redeveloped.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a new building. Oh, okay. So they would.
Yeah. So what's the 20% again?
It's for the whole building. So, you know, it's just saying of any building that you're proposing, you can't have more than 20% of the floor area as office.
Which is fine, but I just think it should be on the ground floor. I don't want to see them I don't want to see all retail on the ground floor, 20% office on the second floor, which really weird, but it, you know, conceivably could be done, and then the rest residential. That's where I'm coming from. I just want to minimize the traffic. But if you guys don't.
Well, in my mind, we're fighting that sort of yin and yang between trying to provide neighborhood services, which is really what we want to do here, promote the dentist and the doctor and the eye doctor and, you know, those and the accountant and the financial planner, those people, and getting them premium space on a retail on the ground level sometimes is hard. So they have more services for the community. That's where I'm going as opposed to traffic.
Well, if you're going to the medical, then it's five times as much. Well, then the impact's five times what it is for
I understand that, but again, I'm looking at the neighborhood plan that they really want more neighborhood services.
Yeah. Put it on the ground floor. What they really don't want is more density and more traffic.
Yeah.
I've said my piece. What do you guys think?
If your building could have 20% of office, why does it matter whether it's in the ground floor or the upper floor? It's going to be the same amount of office space.
Because if the upper floors can only be residential, then if you convert part of that upper floor to an office, particularly if it's a doctor or dentist, to the extent that you're converting residential space to dental or doctor offices, you're generating five times as much traffic for that space.
But it's still the 20%.
It's still the 20%. Doesn't matter
what it's. No. What I'm saying is if you could have, under what they're recommending, they could have all retail on the ground floor. They could put dentists and doctors for 20% of the second floor, and then the balance would be residential. You've just converted that 20% to five times as much traffic.
Well, I think for Rick's scenario, if all the retail's on the bottom floor and we have this big, giant grocery store, it limits the amount of office space that's available. So it's more like 5% or 3%.
Yeah. It's a premium office space then.
Yeah.
So look, if I don't want to be the only one, I'm not trying to force my will on you guys. If what I'm saying isn't ringing true, then let's stick with what we have and move on.
Would since we don't have a written document in front of me, and unfortunately I was sick and I missed the Planning Commission meeting, and go through exactly what the Planning Commission is recommending again, please.
What will happen is, in the code, it will say under office, no more than 20% of the square footage of a building.
Gross square footage of the overall building.
Mm-hmm. Can be office. You know, that's where it'll show up. It'll show up under the office use. Now, if we did it the way Rick is talking about, under the office use, it would say office is only allowed on the ground floor.
Right.
You know.
Retail and office, yeah. I mean, with a 20%
limit.
Yeah,
but what it shows up under that office use, you know, and then it just limits the amount. Like right now, there's no limit. I mean, again, this is another one of those where, be honest, If you veto it, then you have, the whole building could be office. Mm-hmm. I mean, so.
Or residential, yeah.
Okay, I have a naive question. I'm want to start my CPA business. Am I going to pay more per square foot to be on the first floor than if I was on the second floor?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Let me throw out one more thing that I don't know why I didn't make it more clear. But the residential, we're allowing 48 units per acre, okay? That 48, you can still, you could have 100% residential or 100% retail on the ground floor, 20% office on the second floor, and 48 units. Right. So you are increasing density.
Okay, so we already said we're not going to disapprove of this. Why don't we just make our original recommendation?
I can tell them you're.
Oh,
you
I'm not saying I would disapprove.
Oh, so
no,
you're.
We said no.
Yeah,
it's the interpretation.
Yeah.
It's the interpretation of the office space.
Eric, in other areas in the city, mm-hmm. are there any regulations like this, and how do they work in a real built
no,
out?
I don't. The only other thing I can think about, I mean, it's like downtown, we prohibit office on the ground floor. It's intended to be a retail space, and we've had some debates and discussions and disagreements about that over time where, you know, people operating a business, it's more of an office, like a maybe even a service-oriented office, an insurance agent or something like that. They want to go into a ground floor space, and it's prohibited. So we get a little argument about that, but it is. But that's the only thing that I can think of off the top of my head.
No,
that would
I don't
be
think
equivalent
there's,
to that.
There's nowhere that we require that the only place you can have your office is on the ground floor.
No, I can't.
There's no zone
no,
like that.
No, I don't
that.
Think about that.
No. Because we usually prefer to have retail, you know, just for what you're talking about. But I understand, you know, those small offices are nice so that people can go to their dentist or whatever. But like Oneida Village, for example, you can have retail or office. But again, it's not limited to the ground floor.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick straw poll. I'm just reminding you guys what we were not agreeing to 48 units per acre plus office above the ground floor. We didn't say that was something we would agree to.
No. What I told them was that you wanted office on the ground floor.
Right.
And what they said, they did not agree with that.
I understand.
So, I mean, again, I can definitely bring this forward to the council.
Yeah.
And if it's veto, I'll tell them that.
Well, it's not for me to decide. I want to take a quick straw poll. But I'm reminding you guys that you're effectively increasing density by allowing 48 units per acre and allowing office on the upper floors. So, and you're significantly, there's potentially quite a bit more traffic impact. But with that... our decision is we've got a recommendation of only residential on the upper floors, but are we willing to veto on that, or are we willing to just go along with the Planning Commission's recommendation that the limitation be 20% office for the entire project?
Isn't the parking requirement different, though, for office also versus residential?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is the parking requirement larger for office?
I don't know how it works.
I would say it is overall. It's based on a square footage. It's
one
stall for 300 square feet of floor area, where a residential is by unit.
Yeah, so at 3 per 1,000,
right.
700-800 square foot one bedroom unit is going to have one stall.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a factor of two.
How it would limit then? I mean, because they're not going to go underground when you have 35 feet. Maximum height.
Unnecessarily. Okay.
Isn't the third option to go with our original recommendation? Just that we...
But not veto it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was saying. That's a choice. Just stick with the recommendation, but we're not willing to veto, or are we willing to veto over it? So... Quick straw poll.
Well, as of right now, just to make sure I'm clear, the Planning Commission is saying above the second floor, 20% of the gross floor area.
No, total, in the entire project, 20%.
The whole building, 20% of the whole building.
Yeah, it can be up to 20% of the gross floor area of the building.
So that's less than a floor, basically, because of three-story building, 33%.
So that's what we'd be vetoing if we said vetoing, yeah.
Okay, everybody clear?
As Eric pointed out, if we disapprove this, they can go all office if they wanted to.
That's correct, because then you would stay with the BC zoning.
Could be Google too.
But would that be like, they could be like, the only name that comes to mind is Google, that Google could take over the whole top of the building?
There would be no
restriction.
No restriction, so it could be a total office complex, actually.
Yeah.
But it could only go up to 30 feet.
30 feet.
Yeah.
Call the question.
Call for the question, Mr. Chairman.
I call for the question. All who approve of the existing recommendation, which would not be to veto, but just a strong recommendation to only allow residential above the ground floor, raise your hand. Okay, well, that carries. That's
okay.
It. That's a recommendation, but we won't veto on it.
Okay, I got it. Number 12 is talking about affordable housing. And
are you still comfortable with the 20% limitation the Planning Commission recommend?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So.
All right. Okay.
I don't think we had any.
That wasn't.
I see. So you want to say 20%.
The percentage had
been. But it needs to be on the ground floor.
It wasn't specified, and
right.
I think that's a reasonable.
Okay.
So 20%, but ground floor.
That would be our recommendation.
Yeah.
But we're fine with, I mean, we're not going to veto if it's 20%.
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, the next one has to do with affordable housing, and you asked staff to go check with the city attorney, which we did. And so there can be an affordable housing requirement for the Waddell property because we're giving additional density there. And there can be an affordable housing requirement for the 35-foot proposal,
mm-hmm.
but not for the 30-foot because that's already existing. We're not giving them anything new, and not for the properties on the east side in number 3 zone. So, you know, and so we told that to the Planning Commission. They agree.
Yeah.
So that's how we'll show it. Okay. Oh. So you wanted to require that key sites provide a master access and circulation plan. And the Planning Commission agreed with that and actually didn't just say key sites, they said all sites.
All sites. Yeah,
so I think everybody's happy with that one, right?
Oh, that's good.
That was a breakthrough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So. So that'll go in, that'll be a regulation, actually. They want it in the regulations, they want it in the policies, and they want it in the design guidelines, I think. So,
yeah.
You know, that's a good place to end on your recommendations. Okay, now, a few other things that came up that are different or we hadn't talked about before. Let's see. Oh, I already told you about the wording change for the transit. You like that. The Planning Commission wants to see a 14-foot sidewalk, not just on 68th, but also on the 106th and 108th adjacent to the center. So
14 instead of 10, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, on those side streets, it was going to be 8. Our standard is 8.
Right.
So it's 6 feet more.
Wow.
Anybody disagree with that?
That certainly is going to narrow that street.
No.
We'll take some of the property.
It'll take it from the developers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be easement. That's what we were talking about before when we said we'll make it an easement so that they don't lose their density or their lot coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll adjust accordingly. But anyway, is everybody good with that?
Yep.
Okay. And they also
I just had a question real quick.
Yeah.
So if we make the sidewalks 14 feet and some of the properties on the east side of 108th get redone with wider sidewalks, now we're back into requiring the power pole relocation, which may affect the viability of the right turn bus lane northbound on 108th. And I think that would weave back into the 108th Street corridor study. Because, yeah. I mean, that's the reality of what will happen.
Yeah, I mean, and I just realized, did they mean on both sides of 108th and 106th?
I perceived it was mostly
just on the side, yeah, around the shopping center. Yeah, and I will run that by them again, make sure, by the chair, but I think they just meant on the one side, not on the east side. Okay. That would be pretty excessive, I think, to put it on the other side, too. And a good point that you're making.
They aren't talking about 108th and 106th and 68th?
They are, but there's two sides to those streets.
Yeah.
And so what John is bringing up is, are we talking about, like, the far east side of the street, too, or just the sidewalks adjacent to the center? And Eric is saying he thinks that they just meant adjacent to the center.
Right.
And then we would still have the 8-foot sidewalks on the other sides.
Okay.
So, which is still a wider sidewalk than is there now.
What's there now?
Probably 5.
Yeah.
5 in all those older areas.
It's pretty old. It's pretty narrow.
Yeah. So is that good for everybody?
Yep.
Okay. And then the other thing that... Now we get to that chart, okay?
You mean the plate?
The plate, yes.
43.
They made a few changes to this plate, okay? So these arrows, the vehicular access arrows, they're the empty arrows, okay? They suggested that this arrow... that's going east-west through your... Oh, yeah, you only care about the one in your area. That should be pushed up.
We care about
Everest. You care about the other one, but you're, you know, we're talking about the one in your area.
But we have no authority over
it. Okay, so that arrow should be moved up to be adjacent to the pedestrian connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then there should also be a note that says that there should be a regulation that says that there's a connection between 106th and 108th, and there should
be... mid-block?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
And so this should change. There should be a regulation, and there should also be a... it should be in the design guidelines. So they wanted to be sure that this was... You probably heard it.
Yeah.
It was quite a conversation.
Yeah.
So anyway, that change is going to be made. So, again, does anybody have any problems with that or any points that you want me to say about it?
That's a plus. That's positive.
Okay, good. All right. The other thing I was going to say is they just said that they wanted us to recommend to the city council that 14-foot sidewalks be required in other business. I guess this is your only real business district, but they just thought it was a good idea that they be throughout the city. Mm-hmm. So we'll be putting that in the memo, but not really making any changes with that. Okay.
Well, there's the also the connector you were talking about behind Mount Market on 106 to 108.
Yeah, that existing one is more of a delivery connection.
Right.
And I guess the other thing about it is if this were redeveloped, that's when this would happen, and that might go away anyway. We don't know, you know. But they want to be sure that there's a connection somewhere in the site. It's possible it would be down there, but they're thinking it would be further north.
Right.
So, on page, what is it? I think it's 8. Where we talk about, page 8C, where this is, again, regulation for the Waddell property, where it talks about a safe pedestrian connection. They wanted to be sure that we use the word public in there, and not just assume it, because they want obviously any connection to be public. And
sure.
I'm going to go back and look and make sure that anywhere else it's listed that we say public.
Yes.
I also made a note on that pedestrian connection is pretty ambiguous, and there's how do we manage expectations on that? Is where it is, what it is, how it works, or is it all just design guide? I mean,
oh, it's in the design guidelines, and there's also some I can't remember. There's information in the code too, but I
think it's chapter 105.
Yeah, 105 has some stuff. I think it's covered in other areas. This is more of a I'm on it's actually page 8 in this. About 2. Anyway, I don't know what else you want here, but you can tell me.
It was a question.
Yeah.
Mine was a question.
I think between all the places that it's mentioned, we probably cover what your concerns are, but I do think it's good to make sure to put public in here. We already had our conversation about the gas station and the drugstore and the 20%. Okay. This one's an important one for you, and you got a couple of letters on it. There's the 13-foot ground floor height limit. We got a couple.
That's under the BC zoning?
Yeah.
It's this.
Mm-hmm. It's not required under the BC zoning right now. It is not required. But it is required in the BN zoning, and I think
BC1
and 2.
Those are different, similar zones.
For example, the BN zoning, what it says is if you have a 13-foot ground floor, then you're allowed to go up to 33 feet. And the reason is because
retail is required, and it's required to have 13 feet.
And so you can't get three stories in that 30-foot height limit if you require a 13-foot ground floor. So you see why. I mean, because then you're only left with your two upper floors would be too small.
So is that applicable here in the existing zoning?
It's not an irregular. No, it's not a regulation that currently applies in this BC zone.
It does not.
It is in other zones that are like the BC zone, but when they were amended, this zone was not, and so it's now come up as a question about this zone.
And this zone, the BC zone, was not amended because there aren't, as I understand
this
it, this was the only one, and we knew we were going to have this process. So we thought, well, we'll clean this up when we do it. Well, it's become clear that we don't want to go higher than 30 feet except under one specific situation. So this idea of requiring 13 feet and then allowing up to 33 feet does not work here. So we were therefore going to remove, the Planning Commission agreed that we should remove that requirement anywhere that there's a 30-foot height limit and only have it for the 35-foot height limit. So only in Zone 1 if you had the drugstore, grocery store, or hardware store. So that's what they're proposing for that.
I'm confused. If they have that, then they have a 35-foot height, don't they?
Yeah, so then it makes sense to require them to have at least a 13-foot ground floor. They can still fit three stories.
Yeah.
So you're not, but what we...
Don't require a 13-foot height if you're only going to if you're going to limit the height to 30 feet.
But in what case do we need 13 feet? Is that just for a grocery store?
No, that's a good retail height for almost any retailer. Wants to have a little bit of volume in order to make it a comfortable retail space.
And they can still choose to do that, but the thinking was just don't put it in as a requirement, because then you're essentially limiting the building to two stories.
Well, that's the idea. Unless they give us what we want, we don't want to increase the development, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're giving them...
We're not communicating well.
Yeah.
I'm not understanding, I guess.
So, okay, so I think we're all in agreement that if they're at 35 feet and they do all the things we're asking them to do, including a grocery store and all that, then they can get three stories and they can have at least a 13-foot
ground floor height.
Right.
We're not restricting that. The question is, what do you do about the case where somebody isn't doing a grocery store or a drugstore, and they're limited, their height therefore is limited to 30 feet. And what the Planning Commission said was, don't require a minimum of 13 feet as a ground floor, which is the case. We do not require that now.
Currently.
Okay. The discussion, though, was, should we be requiring a 13-foot minimum ground floor? They said no, because if you do that, you're effectively limiting a 30-foot building.
Yeah.
You're kind of downzoning it to a two-story.
That's fair. That's, yeah. that's consistent.
You see,
so you're opening yourself up to a litigious action.
So we're not. So what we're saying, we're not going to a 33. Somehow I was kidding.
No, I'm saying we know you don't want that. They don't want that.
Fine.
And so
we're
don't do this.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, but I'm just saying they removed that requirement. We had that requirement in it as a proposed.
Oh, you were thinking of adding the 13.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
And then
now
then I got these letters and I realized, oh, I see why that doesn't work. So there
got
we
it.
Are. Okay. That is that. We've already talked about the office uses. Wow. Did I miss anything?
No.
I have something that occurred to me after I listened to that Planning Commission meeting.
Can I ask one more question before you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to be sure I have this right. The only deal breaker that I heard, and it's a big one, I understand, is that 20,000 square foot. There wasn't, I don't have anything.
Oh, yeah,
there.
More than, that's, that was that the only thing that we were going to veto?
That's
on?
The only one I heard, but I want to be sure I have that right before we go
because
on.
Well, changing from what we previously said we would veto on.
Which the
correct.
The commission responded to.
And which they agreed to, so yeah.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
Long as
so
they
now
stay
we're down
with
to,
what
yeah.
they
yeah, and
to.
I mean, I'm going to list those other things, but I'm saying I want to make it clear to the council that this
the
is something that you feel is very important.
That
and
we have, that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So on that note, on the grocery store note, some developers are devious.
No.
Yes. What do we have to control or to avoid a situation where somebody goes through this permit process and says, yeah, I'm going to put in a 20,000 square foot grocery store, and then either they end up, instead of putting that in, they put in, you know, a dollar store or something that that isn't what we wanted, or worse yet, the whole thing's just some sham and I don't know. I just, how do you control that? Or maybe you go through the process, you actually go through the motion of setting up a grocery store, but it's a sham, and then it's just to get the permits, and then, you know, within a year you change it to some other use. How do you protect against these situations?
Well, honestly,
I don't think you can
protect on it forever. You can probably protect on the first occupancy.
For how long?
Well, that's a good question. What would you think should happen if, let's say, somebody is in there operating a grocery store for, I'll just say, a year, and then the grocery store goes out of business? And they can't get another grocery store in there. Should it, you just let
it empty?
Set empty?
No, I think it should be Rick's grocery store.
So that becomes the question. What are you going to do at that point? How, I mean, you could, I suppose you could try to enter into some agreement that they would tear it down or something.
No, let's
but,
be real, because there's a price at which some grocery store will come in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just how much is the developer willing to give
mm-hmm.
to bring in a grocery store.
Right.
And if that's a condition for having the development,
right.
then you just hold their feet to the fire and say, no, you just got vacant space if you don't put in a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's better to get $5 a foot instead of getting nothing a foot. And for term, you know, I understand having it indefinite, I can understand maybe, but at least have a first year, a standard term, whatever standard terms would be for a grocery store,
mm-hmm.
whatever that is, that should be the requirement. Because otherwise you're not satisfying the need, the whole purpose of doing this for the neighborhood.
Okay, so again, that is not something that's in there now. That's not
I
something.
Understand.
And if you want to give us a period of time, and if you feel, and then let me know if that's a veto thing. I mean, I'll tell the council about that. That isn't something that I've ever seen us do before, but we can put that in there if you want us to.
I'd want to talk to our city attorney. And just
It sounds pretty
logistics of that.
But, I mean, but you can give us, you know, so that we can complete this tonight. You can tell us what you have in mind, and
well,
we can put
I'm just
it
speaking. I don't know whether even I have the support of the council. I've not been batting too well tonight, but but I had to throw it out there because there are people who would pull that kind of stunt, and I don't know. That's one of the big concessions for us allowing for the increased density, or incentives. So if we're not getting that, then I don't want to make it easy for them. So whatever.
I don't think you're making it easy for them right now. But I mean, you know.
Okay.
So what? What time period would you be thinking about?
Whatever is the standard in the industry for a grocery store, whatever that would be.
When you say standard? Standard
for
what?
First initial term. I would assume it's 5 years.
Or something like
My guess is it's a minimum 5 years, probably with multiple 5-year renewals. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
They're going to make the lease with the developer or whatever. Or
well, I mean, if we're saying that this is the incentive that is our this is why we're allowing the increased density, well then let's at least have some safeguards that we're going to get it.
That's fine. I'm writing it down.
Yeah.
We'll talk to the city attorney. I can put it in the memo if everybody agrees, and then you have to decide if that's a veto or not.
Yeah,
and let me know and I'll pass it on.
Why don't we wait and see what you come up with? And
I don't think, well.
You can talk to it.
And then what, we run it by, I'm trying to avoid needing to come back to another meeting, to be honest.
I understand, and I am just, the body language is telling me that maybe I'm not going to have this supportive to an extent of a veto.
No, I agree with what you're intent is, but it makes me think in my own profession in financial planning, there's a lot of clients that want to have trust and control the money from the grave. Like they're just trying to control as much as they can. And I think there's a certain extent on the property owner that, you know, they have, if they can't rent the property, then they'll end up selling it if it's not profitable. I mean, I just feel like economics is going to drive it. And that there's a point that we can put regulations and policy, but I feel like that's going a little too far.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Same, Bill?
Economics kind of drive what happens at the site. And getting the grocery store in there, you're going to have every incentive to stay there. And I can't imagine them trying to do a flim-flam job and be there for a year and then want to open up a dollar store.
They're going to be wonderfully successful in our little neighborhood.
I know.
Okay. Sounds like I'm barking up the wrong tree.
Okay.
Well, Rick?
Yeah.
Like, Nelson's owned the property.
Yeah.
And Tom, he works, and he manages it. And as long as, I don't know if the Nelsons will own it forever, but they seem to think they want to, I don't think it would be a problem there because they won't want something cheesy going in that building. Even the building that's there right now.
Yeah. I dollar store was a joke. I mean, I
well,
just
I know.
Throw
I'm
that
not
out
picking
a,
on you. I'm just saying.
No offense if somebody's related to dollar store people. But.
And there's already a dollar store by Costco.
So. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. So it sounds like, once again, I'm off track. So. No, let's get this meeting over with.
Wait. I've got a couple more items.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's hear it, John.
So I'm on page 11 of the packet that you sent to the Planning Commission on May 8th, and it talks about building setbacks, about staff is looking at a different option than we talked before at our meeting. And I read through that, and I thought, would you clarify that and discuss what the Planning Commission talked about?
Oh, sure.
Is there anything that's going to weave into the design criteria on this different than what we talked about?
I don't remember exactly what we talked about, but anyway, here's what they're saying. And this would be a regulation. So it would be that above the second story, so that second to third story, the third story would be need to be set back an average of 20 feet, no less than 5 feet. So, so you got to average it out. So maybe it's set back 5 feet in one area, and then what would that be? Another 35 feet somewhere else. You know, it's good. And the idea there is to have it go in and out and be a little more interesting.
So more than we recommended. Because we did 5 and 15, I think.
You said 5 and 15?
Yeah, and they're saying 5.
Did I just say that right, or is it 5 and 12? Just a minute. I thought it was what you recommended.
On page 12, the second paragraph, you say 5 and 15.
It's 15. I'm sorry. 5 and 15.
Okay, because that's what average we recommended. 15. So
it's just what you recommended. Yeah. And the idea is it could be all set back 15, but we're kind of hoping for a little more interesting building than that.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So there's no change there.
No change. Sorry.
I want to jump to page 45 real quick, the code, and there's a couple of items on there. If we come to item... Page 45.
Got it.
Item B, the second paragraph, where it talks about the required upper story is setback 5 feet with an average setback of 15 feet for all floors above the second floor, exactly what we just talked about.
Yeah.
Just so it's good code and it's very objective, it says average setback. I would like to propose that we add the word average by mass setback or average setback by mass so we don't get into the condition that we got into in the South Kirkland Park and Ride where we talked about a horizontal distance and they measured a vertical distance because we said distance and we were thinking horizontal distance and they measured vertical distance for all these proportionality. And I just think, you know, you just average the massing and it's not a length, it's not a width, it's just an overall, it's volume, it's width times depth. Because then it's an easy calculation on an elevation page of a drawing.
Can you tell I'm lost?
Average, the word average could be simply meant in a two-dimensional plane looking down upon the building. Mm-hmm. 5 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet is
right.
An average setback depth.
Yeah, yeah.
And
but each horizontal distance would have to weigh into that.
Yeah,
well,
the whole floor
yeah,
has to
exactly
be
included. Yeah,
that's
exactly what I'm getting at. So... instead of by mass, maybe make that a little bit more descriptive. That's just my thought.
Okay.
Because
average to be clearer that
more clear.
It's
just have a little 5 foot section.
It's
right.
The whole floor.
Yeah. It's somehow more clear. So
okay.
All right.
So
that's that. The next sentence down says the design review board is authorized to allow rooftop garden structures within the setback. The word structures, I think, is a bad use of a word there because structure has a defined building, building definition of anything over 6 feet high except fences
and
blah,
okay.
blah, blah.
Oh, okay, got another
so
suggestion.
I don't think we want big stuff sticking way up in the air, a structure sticking up in the air. I think we can just strike the word structure.
Rooftop garden.
And then a rooftop garden within the setback.
Well, the other thing that this allows for is like the barbecue pit and I think you know it's really popular to have rooftop areas where residents can go and you know, have
well,
outside
that was my
living.
Next point, because gardens not defined as a percentage of planting, a percentage of hardscape. Think
no.
about how difficult of a time we went through in the shoreline setbacks to define how many square feet of what kind of pervious pavement, and does a rock 12 inches by 12 inches count if it's outside the 20% area that goes from the shore?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very, very complicated. And if
as
we
long
don't,
as it's under the height limit, I don't think we care.
Well, then could a garden be 100% pavers?
Yeah.
Okay. Then
as long as they're not including that into their...
It's in the step back, so it's going to be...
It's part of the building.
Yeah. I think the word garden is misleading. Why don't we just say decks?
And I guess I would say this is wording that we've used in other parts of the code,
okay.
which is part of why we have
so,
it here.
So, again, I'm reading it, and I'm like, wow, it could mean so many things. What does it mean?
So instead of garden used,
yeah.
I don't care that much, really. I'm just trying to...
And again, if it stays the same, and this is the way it is, it's the
yeah.
way it is.
I see, though. It's yeah. You find it confusing. So let me look into it. Okay.
Item G, that everything has to be by building green standards. Is this something that's been in the code? Because it's not something we've discussed.
I think it's always been there.
Okay.
But I'm... Oh, you're saying what is... You're saying the actual term green building standards.
Yeah, item G. Has item G always been in this code?
Item G has always been in what we've discussed, yeah.
Okay.
But Eric brings up a good point. Is there a definition of green building? I was trying to avoid a specific... So let me look into that.
I think there is a definition for that.
Is there?
I think so.
Yeah. So, but yes, that requirement has been there.
Okay, all right. And then the last thing that I had is... it seems to me that, in my mind, the corner intersection is a little bit lost in its importance in what we've talked about. And I actually would like some of the criteria for the corner section incorporated into this code. And I think so because if we look at page 51 in our attachment 7, which is the second page of the design guidelines, there's a really nice rendering of an intersection there that's got special setbacks at corners and makes a place at the intersection that's very, very nice. And it talks about the importance of the place at the intersection. It's kind of a wonderful example, and it's one of the things I think that was really, really important that ought to be more important than simply...
The design guidelines are not enough, is what you're saying?
Well, when I went into the design guidelines, I looked into design guidelines, and now I go back to page 66 of the design guidelines, where we talk about gateways and special features.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything in here that talks about setbacks, I don't see any of that at all, except there was one place, and I couldn't find it scanning through here where
it's on page 79, and I made a note that I thought it should be moved up to page 66.
Okay.
Or
well, that's street corners is on page 79. That's why I put it there. But
so, but it doesn't talk about what those are other than special. It seems so ambiguous that, you know, and we're setting, my sense is we spend a lot of time on the TOT talk and TOD. Oh, it's got to be special. It's got to be cool. Oh, we're set. It's great. Oh, what the heck happened? And I just don't want that to happen again. I really think, you know, that the diagram on page 51 is, you know, the building is crenellate and they step back and they undulate and they do something pretty cool at the corner that I just don't want to miss this opportunity.
And that's fine. So what would you like me to do? Do you want, should I make a suggestion to the council that this be included as a regulation? Or are you saying beef up the design guideline?
In my opinion, I think it's important enough to be in the regulation.
Okay. Is that something that we want to go forward with?
Put it in the regulation? Yeah.
So what...
Let's get the rest of the council's...
So now what are we doing?
It needs to be specific. So if you want it to be a regulation, do you want to say everything? For example, you had talked about everything above the first floor to be set back. Do you want it to be that?
This sounds like, John, you're more concerned about the corner treatment in general,
yeah,
so that it doesn't come out sharply to the corner.
Right.
So that would probably affect all stories.
Yeah, and there was something in here, and I think it was in your staff report that said anything above the first floor, and I thought...
Are we talking about on 68, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the corners?
68. At 68 and 108 okay. And 6th, all three streets, which are actually two.
Mm-hmm. Both corners?
This is what I think he's talking about.
Yeah, I know he's talking about it there, but what is
John, what
is... I mean, that's already in... Those kind of stuff, things are already in the design guide.
No, the Starbucks, the yogurt place, the 7-Eleven, and the gas station. That didn't
find out where that was.
He doesn't feel that that's enough, I don't think.
We do on our side.
But, yes. There's a corner place, and
so
we put
special
consideration in that area.
Yeah, I mean,
already.
We talked about this.
I gotta
Kelly
find
got it.
It,
right?
Well, Kelly was talking
right
about
here,
just taking
street corner.
What was on 79 and moving it to...
Yeah. Well,
so, but I
sort
think
of
he
missed 79. I don't know how I missed it, but I did, because I don't have a check here.
But that doesn't,
but
that's
it,
not going to get you where you want to go, because
yeah,
you're talking
this
about
this just says special
it's
place.
Not
it's not
as
enough.
Specific as you
yeah.
want it to be.
It's not enough. And some of the criteria under gateways, it talks about, you know, specific things. And so...
Yep.
You know, we're kind of late in the game on this because, you know, it's already been to the Planning Commission. But, I mean, we have talked about this since.
No, I can definitely bring it forward. I'm just asking you, so you are we now at a regulation or are we at a design guideline? If we do a regulation, it's more like it needs to be more specific. So it needs to be step it back or have a setback, whatever, and for which corners.
Yeah.
If we do a design guideline, then it's more... Let the architects get creative with the corner, and we give some guidance. And I can bring either of those forward. You just need to tell me which one you want.
And if you want to look at the guideline, you might look at that. I'm trying to figure out which
I think they already
in.
Looked at it. And
but there may be some specific 79. Suggestions. What was that?
70.
What was that on 79?
Mm-hmm.
79.
The street
okay.
corners. Think, is that what you're
yeah, that red box that's at the bottom there.
That was the attempt, and
right.
I
so
did.
You could get more specific there if you wanted to.
Have it in the guidelines.
Yeah. Because this does not say actually set back,
mm-hmm.
and that would be something you could say in here.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I did bring that up to the Planning Commission, and specifically tell them that I didn't say that. And they went with this wording. So if you want to be more specific, then
they
we can.
They went with which word, what?
This box.
This box.
The box, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
79.
Well, I personally have a lot of faith in creative architects. I mean, what's everybody else think?
My opinion is the design review. And I know that we've gotten burnt on that before, and I have a feeling that's one of the reasons we want to be as specific as possible. I know that we've gotten burnt on the whole deal with the South Kirkland Park and Ride and how that turned out, but to regulate it, I feel like that would be too binding on the overall design that we might be preventing
such as
creative process.
So it's okay the way it is.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Bill?
If you can provide some more specifics what you're looking for, I could go look at the design.
So I have a suggestion,
yeah,
perhaps, that going I'm looking at the box on page 79,
yeah,
the wording there. And I guess it's the second to the last sentence. It says, buildings at this corner should be designed to enhance the gateway with elements such as, you could put then maybe even as the first item if you wanted to, you know, building setback, or greater building setbacks, corner setbacks, something like that, comma, then the other stuff that's there.
Yeah, I could just bring that.
Well,
if you
setbacks and stepbacks both.
It's probably...
Well, that's up to you, but
yeah.
I think the whole idea there was really the building set back from the corner, not necessarily, although it could be stepped back.
Looking at the example,
yeah,
that John,
yeah,
was showing, it does, it's got both. You know?
Uh-huh.
So okay. Building step backs and setbacks?
Step backs.
Or step back? What?
Such, well, I would, I think you should say elements such as building setbacks, step backs,
yeah,
architectural features, public open space, and art, you know, they just,
yeah, list them all, and then,
yeah,
then that
undulation's
allows the architect to work with those in coming, yeah, up with a proposal.
Right.
I also had written a note to write down preserve view corridor in that section.
Yeah, I think,
yeah,
that's probably good too.
Okay.
Angelo is the only person that, I mean, the design review people are the only ones that will okay these red things, red writings that are in here?
No, they're just going to give us a recommendation. Like, they'll read it and see whether they think this is good to work with. The city council is the group that's going to...
The city council has final say about what goes in here? Okay. I was wondering how it was going to work.
Yeah.
Angela, the other thing that we've got to... We're just talking about, instead of having it at the building corner or at the corners, which is where you've got it now, to instead put it under the entry gateway section. In other words, you've got it on 79, and we would suggest that you put it to,
66.
Special consideration, whatever the entry gateway section is. So it'd be special considerations 66, 67, somewhere in there.
Or cross-reference.
You've got special considerations for entry gateway features in that on that page, 66, 67.
So you want to move it, or you want to have it in both?
Yeah, have it in the gateway to emphasize this is truly a gateway for our community as opposed to having it just as a corner.
Okay.
Yeah, neighborhood, yeah.
Oops.
Special consideration for the
Houghton Everett's neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah, it would just move from the corner.
Yeah. I mean, instead of street corner.
Yeah.
Gateway's got more significance than street corner.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Okay.
Any other things, John?
I think that was it.
Anybody else have anything else? Kelly.
Okay, so on page 55, under the big general description of design guidelines for the Houghton Everett's neighborhood, I added a couple notes that I pulled from other business districts, such as preserve views of the lake, which is in the Juanita business district. I would call out gateway entry, which is also in the Juanita business district.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me get...
Sorry.
So this is page 55, and this is just...
Just under this list of bullets, yeah.
Okay.
So I added preserve views of the lake, which was in the Juanita BC, and the gateway entry, which was also in the Juanita BC. Coordinated street improvements, I added a bullet for that. And then I added a bullet for transitions between commercial and residential areas.
Coordinated, sorry.
I'm talking too fast. Coordinated
street improvements. And what was the last one?
Transitions between commercial and residential areas.
Okay. Anything else?
That was it.
And the note I made that I was on the views as well, I put it on the 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth one up where it says building designs with careful attention given to modulation, blah, blah, blah. And then just say to preserve public scenic views, corridors of Lake Washington, Seattle, and the Olympic Mountains from the public rights of way, which is right out of the neighborhood plan.
Okay, wait, under design buildings with careful attention, that one?
Yeah.
You're kind of throwing two things.
No, it's the same thing. It's the same thing at views, but I just use the language out of the neighborhood plan.
Wouldn't you just make a separate bullet for views?
Sure.
I'd rather see a separate bullet for views instead of having
a bullet for views.
Well, I was just
we're both
agreeing. We're trying to
approach it differently.
Okay.
So.
Never mind. No, retract it.
Okay.
Anybody else have anything? Are we done with this? Angela, do you think you're ready to translate our
I will definitely run it by you.
Okay.
So to make sure I didn't miss anything, yes.
Okay. Well, unless anybody has any objection. Meeting adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I remember last time that we
I'm
chose
from
when we
out.
Decided.